The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Anyone involved in planning a wedding, okay? We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello, thank you for joining us. I feel like we have a lot of new listeners.
Do you?
And we're recording this. We're recording this in like mid-September. And it's going out in mid-September. We're recording the intro.
Yeah.
And I have read and written back to many emails lately. And Michelle, I swear they all start with like, I just started listening to you.
Yay!
I just got engaged. I just discovered this podcast. You guys are the best. I've binged. I'm halfway through your entire library. Like, it just seems like a lot of new listeners introducing themselves to us.
Yes. I love that.
So welcome, everyone.
Yes. If you're a new listener, we are so excited that you are here. We love you. We love all of our listeners.
It's usually like not around this time that a ton of people are getting newly engaged. So the energy that I'm getting is that people are like finally letting themselves feel really excited about wedding planning.
I agree.
As a whole.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I do feel, so it's weird because, you know, when 2020 was happening.
We tapped the brakes.
And we were all like in our house. I mean, a lot of people were listening to podcasts. And for a while, our numbers like shot up. But then they just kind of like went like, beep, like just like level. And
yeah,
I think,
because weddings, it was like depressing.
Yeah, we figured out that people were like, I am sad and I can't even, like, I don't even want to talk about it or hear about it right now. I mean,
I don't know how to feel about it.
Right.
They didn't know.
Right. But now, you know, like, listen, there is hope. It is happening. My freaking brain feels a little numb every day because there are so many weddings happening right now, so many events. I've got so many emails I'm answering. I'm trying to get a hold, like all of you listening that are planning your weddings right now, I know what you're going through because I am not hearing back as quickly from all of the wedding professionals out there as I used to hear back from them, because they are all drowning, literally drowning in emails, in contracts,
not literally,
in phone calls, in Zoom meetings, in site visits. Like, it's insanity, people.
It's always nice to hear from new listeners, enthusiastic, ready to go, you know, all like binging on all of our episodes because that's what's really interesting to you right now. And it makes us laugh because in like a year, it won't be anymore.
You know, what's funny too, is I'm reading some of the emails and they're like, I'm new to your podcast and I'm really trying to go through all the episodes. But like, you know, you could hear the desperation in their voice where they're like, I just have to ask this question. I can't listen to all 200 and, you know, whatever episodes. Like, and you're like, okay. Okay, so talk to me about this episode because I did not do this one with you and I'm really curious about this live music.
Yes, it's two gentlemen, two grooms that were recently married that are on, Stephen and Kevin. And one of them, Stephen, is a musician. He is also an orchestra director at a high school, I believe. And he performs with this company called Piedmont Strings. And this is out in Atlanta. I connected with Stephen through Instagram because he was listening to the podcast as a groom planning his wedding. And then it got postponed because of everything that happened. And so they ended up planning for a lot longer and plans changed. And they actually live long distance, these two.
They don't live together?
At the time of recording, they were still living in different states, but with plans to obviously live in the same place. But everything was thrown up in the air by COVID. And they go into that. So it's a couple that the reason that I reached out to him to be on the podcast was after we were following each other on Instagram and I'd answered a couple wedding planning questions, I saw that their wedding day, which was absolutely gorgeous and amazing looking, mm-hmm. had musicians everywhere. Like they had a full 16-piece orchestra for the ceremony. And we're talking like, think about the movies, you know, like Love Actually or any movie where like a lot, like live music is playing during a wedding, but it's actually like more than a trio or a quartet. Yeah. It's just got this like big energy to it. That kind of live music just brings a tear. It just meets the moment and it elevates everything. So they had a cello trio as their prelude. They had a 16-piece orchestra, including vocalist, during the ceremony. Cocktail hour had a soloist saxophonist who was playing like covers and was super high energy. And then the first hour of the reception was a band, like a wedding band, that included a vocalist who apparently sang a bunch of Whitney Houston songs. Ugh. And then the last part of the reception was a DJ. So I thought it was so interesting.
Oh my God. So it had the best of all worlds.
And it seemed like such a production. Like, can you imagine being a wedding planner working with that many, not just musicians, but like that's different needs where the, you know, different like head, probably contact people that you're in touch with the whole time. And like, it's almost like a theatrical, which we've compared wedding planning to before, but felt very like, how did you guys pull this off? And I would have been interested to talk to two grooms who did this anyway, but the fact that one of these two is a musician himself and has done over 100 weddings with the Piedmont Strings made it really interesting because he can see both sides of that relationship. Like he's been on both sides of the call.
This is an interesting perspective because it's not just from a musician who does weddings, but also someone who had live music at their own wedding. So this is like really great advice. It's very well-rounded.
And he was big with the planning.
They hired a wedding planner.
That has a theater background as well. He has a musical background, they say. And then that's very, and I asked Stephen to put together like a top 7 things to think about or like best practices for working with musicians. So he did that. And that's in the second half of the episode. And it's very good advice, like well thought through, and they're just lovely to talk to. And the wedding sounds like it was just a blast.
I wish I would have been there.
It sounds like so much fun, like a movie.
Well, Stephen and Kevin, it's Kevin Carroll, so I almost said Stephen and Carol. Stephen and Kevin, thank you for being on the podcast. I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you and interview in real time, but I'm going to very much enjoy listening to you both. And yeah, let's jump in.
My name is Stephen Lawrence Carroll. I got to get used to saying that. I am a high school orchestra director in Atlanta for the past 15 years. And I also am a manager of a string quartet that mostly plays for weddings and big events called Piedmont Strings that's based out of Atlanta, Georgia.
And hello, my husband Stephen has all of the exciting things. My name is Kevin Carroll, and I'm a financial analyst for one of the international accounting and auditing firms. And I also own Carroll Candle Company and Carroll Real Estate Investments in St. Louis, Missouri.
Did you say Carroll Candle Company? How did I miss that? That's awesome.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. You know what? I think we need to actually send you some candles.
That is very wedding planner-y to think like, what speaks to you? Because everyone's always asking us about like favors and colors even. And it's like, you know, don't do it unless it means something to you. Like, don't do it unless your guests are going to be like, oh my gosh, this is so Kevin and Steven. And you guys like nailed that. That is awesome. And also a great segue for me to ask about your wedding. And I want to just preface it with that I was Steven, and I don't know, Kevin, maybe you listened to a few, but it sounds like Steven was the real podcast listener.
he is, but I've totally enjoyed all of your podcasts.
Oh
when
my
I
gosh.
Do get to listen to them, because I'm a driver, you know, so like, as in,
that's
I
your
love
commute.
To drive.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So whenever we've driven wherever we're going, or even back here to St. Louis, he's always putting on a podcast, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to listen to
that. Yeah, podcasts are great for a long distance marriage, which you guys basically doing right now, right?
Oh yeah,
right.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah. And you all, I will say, you all have definitely gotten me more so into weddings, because of course, as we'll talk about during this, and I'm sure you all know, this is his thing.
Yes, but as a musician, if he's working these weddings, and now anytime he hears in any meeting, like, we just don't know what to do about favors, he can be like, oh, I know a guy. He's pretty great. He makes these candles. So maybe that'll be maybe before you know it, you guys will be running some like randomly connected music and favors situation for weddings.
You know, that's the plan.
That's so great. I love that. So I was following Steven's journey. I mean, he posted like engagement photos. Mm-hmm. This was all on Instagram. And I think it was like, the wedding is coming out. Like, things were leading to it. And then it was like, okay, we're postponing. So we were connected on Instagram, and you would comment on some things or ask us some questions, but for longer than you thought we were going to be. Right. So tell us about like when your wedding was, when it was supposed to be, and you know, how it turned out.
Okay. So our wedding was May 30th of this year, 2021. And it was supposed to be May 24th of 2020. So for May, that 2020 date, we had already planned to have a 2-year-long engagement because we are long distance. And that was supposed to be like, you know, wrapping up the long distance and then finally the wedding. And then, of course, COVID came along, and then we ended up with 2021. So it was in total a 3-year-long engagement, which, of course, since I've been planning for weddings since I was 16, it's been probably a 21-year planning process in my head.
Did most of what you had planned roll over ultimately, or did everything, like, you just took the plan and shifted it a year, or did you have to really rework some stuff?
We probably had 2 to 3 weddings planned during that 3-year planning period. So we started off with one team. The venue, our wedding planner, all of that stuff pretty much stayed the same.
That's good.
There were a few vendors that we switched out on the way. But if anything, things just got bigger, and then just more elements were added in that last year.
Definitely. And I would also say the one thing that we had planned for 2020 was, so we had it planned a whole weekend with individuals coming in on Friday, because our wedding was on Sunday. It was over Memorial Day weekend. So it was supposed to start on Friday to have a meet and greet social. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, with it being in Atlanta, every year Atlanta does Jazz in the Park. So the Saturday event was going to be Jazz in the Park for everyone, where we would have tents, food, drinks, and it's an amazing day. But roll over to 2021, we already weren't exactly sure if that was going to happen. But then, of course, with trying to implement as many safety precautions as possible, we went ahead and took that off the list, which was good, because they end up having it virtual, a virtual performance anyway. But that was the one big thing from the wedding weekend that we had planned that we weren't able to do.
Got it. How many guests did you end up having at the wedding?
We ended up with around 80 guests, which dropped from about 125.
And that's because people traveling, they weren't comfortable still, or with postponing a year, just dropped off. Like, we're not really friends with that person anymore? Or was it more
it was kind of like a mix of all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And in addition to knowing that we also had elderly family members that were going to be there. So decreasing it, which this really didn't even cause for that many people to drop off, but also decreasing it just to really make it. And so, you know how you have that, I guess, that guest list A, B, and mm-hmm. C, you know, and it's like, okay, let's kind of, who do we really want to be there to also, you know, to be considerate of our elderly family members
right.
that were going to be there as well. So,
can you tell that that was a book report that I gave him from a podcast? The AD&C, I'm really proud of him.
AD&C, I love it. I mean, it's sometimes it's just good to organize ahead of inviting anybody that way, even if you don't utilize it with like, we're pulling you up or like, we got some RSVPs, knows. So it ended up being around 80, 90 of like core, current, your people. It felt like the best of the best.
Oh yeah. And we were also making sure that, because we had a couple people like that had entered into new relationships, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, can I bring my girlfriend or can I bring my boyfriend? And we're like, sorry, this is restricted to like spouses and long-term significant others. You're not bringing Mr. and Mrs. of the moment up to this.
Yeah, I mean, well, also in the past, it's kind of in the past year, like you wouldn't have met that person most likely. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So that's also
that was the other thing, like, we've never even met some of these people that you may be thinking about.
Yeah, and that was something that was kind of like it made some decisions a little more difficult with the guest list, because talking about planning for 3 years, we set our guest list at the beginning of that, and some of our friends had just started relationships, and by the end of that 3 years, they were living together. Like, and so that adjusted our guest list as well. Right. So it went up and down, up and down.
Yeah, that makes sense. It wasn't just cutting people out. It was adding mm-hmm. people and your guest people. So from the pictures, which for planning 3 or 4 different weddings and taking 3 years and like getting to the finish line, you succeeded. I mean, from like, it just looks so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You did have a planner and all like vendors that would be on like my master vendor spreadsheet. You had that plus more musicians. Would you say that's true?
Very true. In total, I think we had about 30 or so vendors throughout the day. The overall, when I was talking to my planner, Christopher Graddick, I was telling him that the overall feeling for the day that we were kind of going for, because I was the one requesting black tie and, you know, wanting to have that element when people first walked in, mm-hmm. but knowing that Kevin was really more about let's get to the party, I told him that I wanted to be like a elegant ratchet mix, and he laughed for a few moments, but he understood completely what I meant. Like, I wanted the day to start off, you know, formal. Everyone very formal, and then to just as the day go morph into something totally different.
People had their like bow ties loosened by the end of the dance party, and ladies had their shoes off, and And you mentioned in the onboarding, and I want to mention this too, that your planner either was a musician or his prior mm-hmm. career had something to do with music. So when you hired him, that was a huge like plus. If the formality and the party and the venue, and knowing that like we want to go big with the music elements in this wedding, so hiring a planner who was kind of like, I know how to do that, that was fortuitous and smart. But do you feel like it actually did lead to a better event and better communication with him, or do you think it would have been fine with any planner?
I definitely felt like it helped out a lot. Chris and I have known each other. He's actually been doing the graphics for my orchestra program for like the last 5 years. So that's a lot of like t-shirt designs, programs, everything, where he would send something and I'm like, no, I want something bold. I want this.
Yes.
So before we even started wedding planning, he already knew. Like, he knew about Kevin. He knew like what my style was. But as far as like with the musicians going, and in talking to the musicians after the fact, because they were having conversations that day, of course, that I wasn't around for, he knew when they were asking for certain things, what it was for already. He knew their lingo.
Probably problem solving even before there was a problem, which is
right.
great in a planner. That is awesome. Also great that you knew him and you knew how to communicate with him, but he wasn't like your best friend.
Oh, right.
Because sometimes
right.
when people hire, like, oh, I know him, it's going to be fine. And then, like, work and play, you know, like,
friendship and vendors. It's a different, you knew him, you trusted him, you knew he did good work, you knew he was beyond competent, but it wasn't like you guys text each other at 3 a.m. and blurred the lines of,
oh, right.
I think that's just an important note when people are thinking about hiring someone for a job when they've already worked with them in another capacity. So tell me why you, or how, or just describe how you knew music was going to be a big part of the way. Like, you teach orchestra, you play, you're a musician, but you could have just had a few live musicians at cocktail hour. It seemed like it was a real priority for you guys. So how did you like get to that point, and how did you talk about it?
Well, I know for me, like, I do have a lot of musician friends who play a lot for weddings, and they're very much like, I'm just going to forego off of the live music, and I'm just going to, you know, do everything pre-recorded.
Yeah, get a DJ, but, call it a day.
Right, right. Because in some aspects, it is easier. But there's just, I don't know, for me especially, like, my favorite part of music is always the performing of it. And just, I could never imagine this day without there being some live aspect. And I wanted the entire day to be live.
Yeah, I mean, you guys went for like the wow factor, not just like, that was a great cocktail trio you had. I mean, it was far beyond that.
Yeah, definitely. And like, so we started off with a cello trio as guests were walking in. And it was really, the whole idea was the garden theme. Was basically, we had these 16-foot trees there, and there were these three cellists set up in between the trees just playing music. Playing like your typical wedding songs that you hear at a lot of weddings, like A Thousand Years or different things like that. And they played for Prelude. Then guests were escorted into our ceremony space where we had a 16-piece orchestra with a harp and a vocalist.
That is dreamy. Like, that is a wow factor for real. I mean, the ceremony, a 16-piece orchestra. And it was not in a church space. So how did you have, like, could everyone see them the entire time? And also, how did you have it spaced out?
Well, their positioning was very, it was done on purpose. They were set, as guests walked in, they were on the far wall. So basically, you had to see them as you walked in. As guests walked in, the harpist was playing by herself. Just, you know, to usher guests in and create that atmosphere. But I do remember walking down the aisle, and it's just so many things going on in your head walking down the aisle that, like, I forgot that they were there for a second. And in my head, it was a recording. They sounded unbelievable.
Like a movie.
It completely.
So they played like processional, recessional songs, the orchestra. Mm-hmm. How did you two walk in for the processional down the aisle?
First it was our wedding party. Then we both entered with our mothers.
Separately. One after another. Okay.
So we only had that one song for the processional.
And while the orchestra was playing, we had the live singer as well. So just wanted to make sure we
Yeah, we didn't even have that in the outline, Kevin. I can't believe that. So 16-piece orchestra, including a harpist who was like there as people were getting to their seats, and then a singer as well. Okay, so the ceremony ends and we go to cocktail hour, and there you have...
We had a celebrity saxophonist there who he put on a whole show. Like, to the point we were outside taking photos, and you could just hear cheering and applause and screaming going on. And we were like, can we hurry up with these pictures quickly, because we want to go in. And there, he was full of energy. And he did a lot of covers of songs that everybody knew, Prince, everything.
Oh yeah, my gosh.
Even the new Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. What's the new song? Leave the Door Open.
Oh, like like, it was from old school to new school.
Cool. Okay, so he's cocktail hour, and then moving on to the reception.
For and the also, reception?
Like, what happened to that orchestra? Are they just like loading their cars right now? No, half of them are.
Okay, so for the reception, the singer who sang during the ceremony, she was actually there with a band. So the band performed for the first hour. of the reception, and then we did all of our cake and first dance, like our mother-son dances. And while we were doing that, the band got off stage and the DJ took over for the rest of the night.
And some of the musicians from the orchestra were also in the band, or just the singer?
Just the singer. And so it was an 8-piece band, one singer, two background singers, and then all of the musicians.
And she's playing, I mean, that band is playing like during dinner. It's
yes.
Jazzy. Yes.
All during dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, we gave her a few songs to choose from. Like, I know we asked her, we asked them to sing the first song as guests were walking in. That was one thing that was really important for the entire day, is that as guests are having to move from one space to another, the atmosphere of the next space needs to already be in motion.
Yes.
So the music is already going. And yeah. So she knew what song to sing at the beginning of the reception. And then like Kevin's really big on Whitney Houston. So she did, you know, some songs by Whitney Houston.
Well, I was gonna say, that's a really good point, that people always like pick out their first dance song. They pick out, you know, Dancing with Their Moms, maybe a song for cake cutting, but they don't always think about the song that they want already playing in the room as mm-hmm. guests enter. And you've said that now 3 times. You had the cello, or mm-hmm. you had the orchestra, the harp, the saxophone. Everybody was already like setting the vibe intentionally. And that was part of like the list that you gave them, which is mm-hmm. really smart thing to think about. And event planners would know, like, along with like the lighting of a room and the way that it's set mm-hmm. up, that having music playing in there is a huge welcomer. Like, you open the doors and it's like, come into this magical mm-hmm. space next, listen to this mm-hmm. music. So it's just a really good note, I think, for couples to think about those transitions also. Mm-hmm. And how you welcome people kind of sets the tone for the next part. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going to say. I think it was really important that, as you just said, not just our first dance or anything like that, we actually found a thing. Well, he found her, but he knew what I liked and everything. And he had been following her on Instagram and seeing different videos of her and meeting with her to even know the range of songs that she was even able to sing mm-hmm. so that she could have multiple songs in her library, even if we gave her, you know, the foundation of the ones that we wanted. We knew that just based off of her comfortable genre.
Right, and her repertoire.
Voice, mm-hmm, that she would be able to just really, that we would like pretty much anything that she sang mm-hmm. in general, instead of just looking for, you know, like a wedding singer that would just get the job done. Like, you know, we were kicking it the whole time. And mm-hmm. she sounded amazing for everything.
And it sounds like you gave her direction in terms of certain songs to play at certain times or at some mm-hmm. point, but you didn't mm-hmm. give her an entire playlist, like from this from start to finish, right. This is exactly what we want you to sing, because you trusted her and you knew her style. So she had kind of room to judge the crowd or like do what she wanted within the priorities you set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It was anything that was scheduled on the itinerary that had music associated with it, we told them ahead of time, this is what we want. But everything else outside of that, like with the saxophone as well, we just let him go free range. Mm-hmm. But of course, for the ceremony and then like those scheduled dances during the reception, we were a little more hands-on about those, yeah.
And that's true, even if you have a DJ or an iPod, mm-hmm. if you know, people still had those for your entire wedding, it's not cool, and no DJ or musician is going to love like if an actual list of 30 songs in a row right. that you want them to play that way. But right, for ceremony, right. they expect that to be like processional reset, maybe several processional songs, maybe even where to start in a song. And I think couples feel like, well, we just told them that song, but they don't realize like, well, there's 45 seconds of intro to that song, and what you want is mm-hmm. the part in Twilight where, you know, Christina right. Carey sings
he talks
that one
about this all of the time.
Good.
When he's going on a gig, how, you know, he may get hired and he's like, so
what do they want us to do?
What do you want? Yeah, what do you want us to do? Where is the direction? Or
yeah,
you know, dealing with other wedding planners. It's just like, you know, the ones that do actually give him the direction versus the other ones. And then sometimes they may say that wasn't like, that
we didn't do what we wanted.
Right. You know, so.
And that's a good point, because I want, like, having you, Stephen, on today, like, you perform at a ton of weddings, and then now it's your own wedding that you are planning. So there's communication with all the vendors, but specifically the musicians. And then there's you at your wedding as someone who is more like well aware of what's going on with the music than most people are. So I want to touch on what we're talking about right now about like communicating with a musician or a, sometimes you're talking to their manager if you hire, you know, a quartet or something. So from all the years of you doing this and then doing it yourself on the other end, how much communication, I mean, it sounds like for the ceremony, you do want pretty good directions on what to do. But how much communication from a couple is like just a perfect amount?
Yeah, definitely. Well, usually, like, I always suggest like three main meetings. Other things can happen in between, but just three. The first one is usually like a consultation where we're just discussing like, is the date available? Is it, you know, what are your overall goals and expectations? And it's very important for me as a vendor to talk with someone. You might not have every detail planned, but if there's something that you want, like tell me then. Especially if it's already on your heart and on your mind. One thing that with teaching, I like my kids, I'm training them now to go and be prepared to play for weddings. And I tell them all the time, like, you might be playing for a couple who have been thinking about this wedding date since they were like 5 years old. And you just don't want to be the person who gets there and you mess that dream up, you know? So like, if there's something that's on your heart, let us know. And that first meeting is a good time for that. Typically the next time that we're going to talk is when you are finalizing your music list. And what I suggest when you are looking for your preferred music for your ceremony or whatever part of your wedding, make sure that you try to go on YouTube and find a version. Like I play in a string quartet. So if you want us to play, I don't know, something like Highway, Stairway to Heaven, then go find a recording of that played by strings and see if you actually like it. You know, there are sometimes, and we get a ton of different requests, you know, from Super Mario Brothers all the way. We had to do a wedding a month ago and play Ariana Grande's Thank You Next.
Did you have really to learn it?
So And that's all fine if we have the time, but we have to have sheet music for it. And I think that's something that I might be talking about later. But there are times where they ask for things like, you know, that might be like a rap song or something where there's not much of a melody there. And that's when my job comes in to say, hey, well, this isn't quite the best fit for us. We'll do what you want us to, but just to let you know, this might not sound right on the violin. And then that last meeting, which is usually like the week of or sometimes even the day of, especially now during COVID, when it comes to the day of the wedding, if we're playing for your ceremony, we need to know like who is going to cue us, which is
who's
really
like,
important thing.
Where's your wedding planner going to like wave and put up the number two or whatever? I mean, that's you got to look somewhere.
Definitely. And then with COVID, like, your wedding party numbers might be changing. You might have had seven and then two rolled down in the car together and tested positive. Now they're five. We just need to, those are details that we find out more like the day of or the week.
Because it matters for timing in terms of how long you place it. Like who's going to be the last person to the altar? It was a flower girl and now you're telling me there are no flower girls. So when should we stop? And I think, I would imagine there's a lot of those decisions that you just end up making the best call that you can, but those details are important. Is there such thing as too much communication from a couple?
Yes and no. All information is good information because it prepares us. But there are situations, like if you're hiring someone to be the expert for that day, one, let them be the expert. Yeah. But to, like you said, you mentioned this earlier about if we're going to play for your cocktail hour for an hour, give us, you know, like a few things to help build a list off of. But if you give us a list of 35 songs, one, we might not even get to all of those. But two, then that sometimes is a little too much information. But
mm-hmm. if You'll do you your want best.
It, we'll do it. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by our friend Mark Grollo at Unboring Wedding Academy.
UnboringWeddingAcademy.com/bigwedding. Go there now. You will thank us, I promise. We are so stoked to continue to partner with Unboring and Mark. We love him. He's been a guest. He's hosted an episode, the only person besides us to host an episode on our podcast.
If you are asking someone to officiate your ceremony that is not a professional officiant, mm-hmm. you need this. This yes. is what you need. You need to give this to them. You need to purchase it and give it to them right away. Or if you're somebody who is performing a ceremony for a friend or a loved one, you need this. This is going to tell you everything and get you all set up.
Yes, it is the key to making the ceremony flow boom without a problem, no issues. Everyone's going to be like, that was the best ceremony we've ever been to. And you're going to be like, yes, Unboring Wedding Academy saved our wedding. Thank goodness we heard about them from Michelle and Christy on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Mark is a pro. He's been performing wedding ceremonies for a very long time. And he thought, you know what? I don't want anybody out there who's not a pro to do this in a shitty way.
Yeah.
I want them to do it the right way. So he put together this digital course. He is giving you a huge discount, like huge.
Historical. Okay?
Historic. It's crazy. He's crazy, but he's doing it because he loves us and we love him. So go to unboringweddingacademy.com/bigwedding, or you can go to our website, click on the partners page, and you'll see the link right there. We are very proud to partner with Unboring Wedding Academy.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, so I wanted to, I asked you to put together like a best practices list. So you put together like seven main things to think about or mm-hmm. like elements. And Kevin, jump in from the, we'll have you be our episode layman when it comes to his list that was put together. I'm not sure if you guys put it together, but you're, Stephen, a professional musician. I'm a professional wedding planner. Kevin was a groom just trying to get his party on. So, you know, pipe in or chime in. So number one is about choosing who these musicians are. And as we're talking to, you know, listeners, we can imagine that not everyone is going to have live music for every mm-hmm. part of the wedding day, but wherever you have them, it's not inexpensive. I mean, you want to pay musicians. So you really want to think about what would be like cool and what you're all about. Like, I think a lot of people just go to a string trio because it's like, well, that's what's at weddings, but mm-hmm. have a harpist, have a saxophonist. I've, you know, worked with a Spanish guitarist who that's all he does mm-hmm. is Spanish guitar. And like, don't tell him what to play because he's mm-hmm. just going to play what he plays. And it's amazing. And it fit because it was what that couple was into. What was your big hints for choosing who these performers are?
Well, for most of the performers throughout the day, they were performers who I had performed with at some point or another. I had a few high school students thrown in there as well who were really excited to play. But, and even with the band, I had done a wedding with them 5 or 6 years ago. So the first thing would definitely be to know your musician that you're wanting to hire, know their strengths. And Kevin kind of mentioned this earlier, like with our singer for the reception, we knew what her voice type was. We knew like, you know, what type of music she liked to sing. So we would only hire her if we were planning to match that same genre of music.
Yeah. You can't just ask anyone to sing Whitney Houston songs. So.
Yeah.
That could definitely. Be a disaster. And,
Yeah. Once you have your music that you are wanting to stick to, then, and you know, you find the group that you might be interested in, try a few of them out, and maybe ask them, do they have any recordings of themselves already performing? If there's a band, like our band actually wasn't a typical wedding band. They mostly do like nightclubs and bars. So there was a lot more information that we had to communicate with them leading up to the wedding. But, you know,
it was worth
when
it.
They were right. Yeah. But when they had like a show, if Kevin was in town, I'd be like, let's try to go and see them.
Yeah.
Because I already knew what they sounded like, but I also wanted him to as yeah. well.
And it gets you kind of like excited about, I mean, you're kind of testing them out to see if you like them. But if mm-hmm. you do, and you already know you do, and they are the kind of band that does shows around town, like how fun is that to be like, we're just going to a bar, but that happens to be the people who are going to be playing at our wedding. Like that's fun. It gets you excited about it.
You know, and I think that with that is understanding. And I think, you know, Stephen did a great job at this and just us communicating and everything. It's understanding that like using the music to set the tone of the wedding. So one of my big concerns was I didn't want this wedding to become stuffy.
Mm-hmm. You know, like everybody felt like they had to sit and listen.
Yes, like we're already having a black tie wedding. Now it's about to be all of these strings here, you know, orchestra.
Like, but more like I a performance. And you don't want your wedding to feel like a performance.
You want it to be a performance. You know, you want people there to be enjoying themselves and you know, and that was one of the things about, like, say, going to see the band to see how exactly do they sound. You know, mm-hmm. even our DJ called us and asked, you know, with me being, I'm originally from St. Louis, you know, he asked, so is there any particular music that's specific to St. Louis that we just have to play? Then he asked Stephen, like, what about Atlanta music? You know, Atlanta music's everywhere. But, you know, just getting a feel for both parties in the wedding to know music that's specific to them. And again, like going back to the quartets and the orchestras, it was making sure that they were playing music that people would enjoy. And like, we weren't just about to have, you know, one of like Bach.
I knew you were going to say that.
Something that you would consider boring or just like, this is what I would hear at a museum. And that's not, I'm not into that. I was thinking also when you're thinking, kind of interviewing different bands or like looking into things, know what you want. Like you mentioned, you don't have to know every detail, but mm-hmm. talk about like what vibe you want to be happening at certain times of the wedding day. And don't hire a musician who you've got to like square peg into, you know, like mm-hmm. he doesn't really fit this, but we hope he can pull it off. Like,
you know, and on that same thing, when you're thinking about hiring musicians for your wedding, a lot of times we have that sister or friend who used to sing and like, or plays guitar or something like that, which is great if that's something that you want to include. But just also just be mindful of it, because I mean, if they don't have that training, then that could also be a little bit more of a headache sometimes. Mm-hmm. I know with our quartet, sometimes we do get requests from couples to say, well, we have a family member or friend who also wants to sing with you all. Well, for us, that sometimes is a red flag because you don't know what you're going to get into. But
yeah.
One, we're going to need to set up a rehearsal for that. So if you want to do that and you want to hire a friend and a professional group, then that might cost you a little bit of extra money because now you're going to have to pay for a rehearsal or the group is going to have to show up early.
They're not just going to give the mic to your Aunt Rose
exactly.
to sing a song and like play backup for her when she's not a part of the band. I mean, most right. bands would not feel all that comfortable doing that.
Yeah, definitely.
And also because you always, he's had this multiple times and he's like, so what key are we playing this in?
That's so interesting. Like, I've never had a guest or a family member or a couple ask like, hey, can my XYZ do this song? But it sounds like it's fairly, I mean, it's happened to you multiple times.
It definitely. It's not all the time, but it happened.
Okay, and something to think about.
Right, when that happens, if I can have like an MP3 recording of us playing the music or something that's into them and say, here, practice with this, if this works for you, then it's great. But we've also had situations where it's the week of the wedding and we're finally having that rehearsal with the vocalist. And I mean, us as string players, we have to get the music written out because we just can't learn everything by ear. It's not like High School Musical, like where everyone just kind of shows up. But and we got to the week of the wedding and the vocalist was just kind of like, this is too high. I can't sing it. And then it was like, well, I have to go to an arranger to get it rewritten. And so we got that done. And then she said, no, no, this is too low. And so it was a bit,
that's above and beyond, Stephen.
It was. And it was a situation that made me change a clause in our contract moving forward. But like that, we ended up not using a vocalist at all for the wedding. But it's just something to think about when you're, you know, wanting to use someone who's not a professional.
Yeah, make sure trying to like put non-professionals with professionals, there's definitely some things to think about. And I think we actually touched on number two and three, but number two, you said to be clear about your expectations and allow the musicians to share and speak to what's comfortable to them. We talked about, you know, finding some stuff on YouTube that is that specific arrangement. So you can at least see like, can you do Guns N' Roses like this? Mm-hmm. And they can say yes or no, that's 10 instruments. Like I might not know. I might not know the difference between a trio and a quartet, and that might be a pivotal difference. So, and also then the sheet music or adding a member of the band, we want a vocalist, but just for two songs that just know you're going to incur, you know, extra cost if they have to learn something new, if you have to provide sheet music, or if you want a vocalist for just two songs, they still have to pay that person to come to the wedding. Number three, you said consider your audience and guests and what energy you're trying to convey with the song selections. We talked about the transitions and that energy, but what did you get? What were you thinking specifically when you mentioned the guests?
Well, with those transitions, like think about Cocktail Hour. We did not get to experience the first half of Cocktail Hour, which in a lot of cases, a couple doesn't. So the music that we wanted to have there were things that were going to really motivate our guests with the right energy. And so, yes, your music selection should mean something to the two of you. But in this case, like, it's
don't be
really
exclusive.
The three of you, right? Yes. It's the two of you plus your guests. And so you don't want to choose things that in your absence, your guests are going to, you know, twiddle their thumbs with. You just want to make sure that, you know, you're thinking about everybody that's sitting there enjoying it.
Thinking about your guests can go beyond just like, don't play any rap music with bad words because grandma will be offended. Like you can think even more, like what's the opposite of that? What's going to make some of your guests be like, this is amazing. I can't believe they remembered that or thought of that. And that could be especially true for the times where you're not even going to be there.
Yeah, our wedding planner, Chris, he was always like, we have to always play around with the five senses for every part of the wedding. Mm-hmm. And it was like, of course, the sight, the, you know, the details, the visuals, the decoration, and then taste was food, smell was Kevin's candles, because we were really nervous about mixing smell with food, because you just don't know how that's going to work out. And hearing was really with the music, and it was just always about making sure that, you know, wherever the guests are going from one space to another, like whatever, knowing that we wanted the energy to go from this elegant into a party, the next room should be the introduction to
take it up a
that
notch.
Neville level, right?
Yes. And so I love that.
You know, and that actually even started from us going down the aisle to, and he was really big on this. So, you know, us going down the aisle, we had these slow love song,
acoustic,
acoustic,
no drums.
But then, as we were leaving, the professional,
recessional.
Okay, there you go. So the recessional took it up a notch, and that was one of those things where throughout the talk, he's like, "We need to figure out a song for the recessional."
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, what do you think about this? And I would say it probably took us a year.
Back and forth.
Back and forth, because it was like, no, that's a little bit too, you know, still maybe a little bit too slow, or maybe that's a little bit too fast, like finding that happy balance between, no, this needs to be a good transition to the next interview.
It's the end of the ceremony, but it's not the end right. of the whole party. So you don't want to like
right. exactly. you don't want to
pull out the big guns.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Which the next one on this list is find music that speaks to both of you and multiple songs. And I think this is like you said, you guys went back and forth a lot. You whittled the lists down. I veto mm-hmm. that. Okay, put that on the maybe list. But mm-hmm. in the end, there were songs played, I hope, throughout the whole wedding that you both felt connected to.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. For our processional, we decided to use Maxwell's Whenever, Wherever, Whatever. And it was kind of like whenever, because I mean, we're living in separate states. So whenever we get to see each other, like it's a big moment for us,
yeah.
kind of like dating. And then wherever, clearly again, the same different yeah. date. Mm-hmm. And then the whatever. So like the lyrics to that really fit for us and it fit our current situation.
Yeah.
And it was kind of one of those moments because we did a lot of texting songs to each other, like try this YouTube link out. What do you think mm-hmm. about that? And we got to that one and it was kind of like, no, wait, hold up. I think that's it.
That's it. I love that.
And right.
Because people do, we've talked about this before about picking those, let's say the important songs, like the songs that you are going to put in your timeline and they, you know, mm-hmm. the musicians, you're not giving them like room. It's like, I want this song. I want it to start at this point because this is the part we like. I want to remind everyone listening and like, when you think about music at your wedding, whether it's recorded or live musicians, just like your photo album that you might pick up later years from now and like look through the photo album, but you have to pick it up. You have to like look mm-hmm. for it and brush some dust off of it. The music, like you could walk into, I've walked into a yoga class mm-hmm. and my song, which in my head, it's my song, mm-hmm. was playing yeah. as people walked in, my processional song. And I sat down on my yoga mat and like got kind of goose, and I must've looked like a daffy idiot because I just was like smiling and looking around because music has a way of bringing you back to a time or a place or a person in your life. And so if you are really deliberate and intentional and together on the important songs you choose at your wedding, like anytime you could just hear one of those songs on the radio. Many times my husband and I've heard a song and we knew we danced to it at our wedding. And so we'll kind of hold each other's hands. And it's wow. such a delightful, it's, you don't have to pick up the photo album. It's like the music will remind you yeah. of that day. And you wouldn't want it to be all just one partner who got to pick those mm-hmm. songs. And it's like, hey, yeah. remember this is our first dance. And they're like, I don't know. You picked yeah. it.
Well, and a lot of the songs that I was, putting on our list to choose from were like old school songs. Like we did the Maxwell song and then we did Bill Withers' Lovely Day for our recessional. Mm-hmm. Like they're things that have kind of stood the test of time yeah. as well. So we're probably going to hear that in 10 years somewhere,
yes.
you
yes.
know? And something that we were kind of talking about in our other call was that, as like you just said, like for every major aspect of your life, like there is a song that's attached to it. You have Happy Birthday, you have songs for a traditional wedding, you know,
yeah,
Here Comes the Bride and all of that.
That you will right. sing to your own children.
Graduation has a song. Like every major moment or, you know, benchmark of your life is there's something there to associate it with. And so like my mother and I did our first dance, not our first dance, I'm sorry, our mother son dance to, what was it? Ain't No Mountain High Enough. Mm. And
I
to
love
this
that
day,
song.
4 weeks later, like whenever it comes on, like we'll call each other like, oh my God, it's on the radio right now. And it's like, we've heard that song billions of times right. leading up to the day, but now that song has a much different meaning to it. Then even my sister will call my mother and say,
yeah,
it's on my radio right now.
Yes. And when you say, Alexa, play Motown, and that one comes on, because that is like my right. in the kitchen music.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're in a movie. I mean, you know, I've got like The Spoon and singing that song
yeah.
specifically from how many movies have we seen that in? It's always a montage. It's always awesome. So mm-hmm. it's just these songs have an energy that are going to surprise you at other times of your life. And I really encourage, you know, mm-hmm. listeners to think about that because it's cool when it happens. So these are so great. Number five.
So we have consider the number of songs you would like to include during the ceremony.
Yes.
And the first part of that is there enough time to experience these selections, and will someone be speaking over the music?
So a lot of times with the quartet that I plan, we'll get a song for the officiant, a song for the mother of the bride, a song for the, you know,
like every entrance. Everyone.
Every entrance. And if that's what you want, then definitely. But make sure you have the time for that, because a lot of times we start playing something and 3 seconds in, or a few notes in, it's time to switch pages and go to the next song. And that's kind of why.
Easier for the planner or the person orchestrating the processional to hold people back than it is for musicians to like shuffle through their paperwork or their iPads to get to the next song. And also it doesn't make much sense to the guests when it's only the first few lines of the Kermit song, which is delightful, and you know what I'm talking about. And then they don't even get the significance of it because they're like, oh, is that? And then it's on to the next one. So there's not always time for much more than like one or two processional songs. Maybe like one for the family fade out, one for the wedding party. If you have a long wedding party, several fade out, and then one for the grand entrance of whoever's getting married. But beyond that, I would imagine the musicians, when you get like, also play this song, just at some point, you're like, wow, what are we doing?
And I mean, and sometimes, you know, like when we get there, the first thing we always look at is how long is the aisle? Like, is this a long aisle? In that case, we're going to need to figure this out. But, you know, just keeping in mind, like, how many songs you choose for that part of your ceremony, it can start things off in some ways feeling a little, like, overwhelming music-wise, because there's just so much. And then also in between songs, with us flipping pages or going to the next screen on our iPads, like, that adds more time to your ceremony as well, which, you know, takes away from what's happening later on that evening.
Yeah. And then the next one was considering the timeline. So first you're considering kind of the number of songs you want played, when to play them for the ceremony. The second one is specifically about the timeline. And when you touched on, like, we do need this information as musicians, and we do need somebody to cue us, or at least very obvious cues, like one flower girl, when she gets to the end of the aisle, then we wrap up the song. But you also mentioned a sound check. So I wanted you to, which we haven't talked about yet, and I do include in my timelines, but if you don't have a planner, I think, explain like what that is and how much time ideally.
Yeah, depending on the type of group, well, any performers are gonna need some type of moment to make sure, see what they're gonna sound like in the space that they're in. For our string quartet, usually 30 minutes, 45 minutes is all we need just to make sure everything is in place.
But that includes like you warming up?
Yes. Okay. So we will get there 30 to 45 minutes early, set up, touch on a few things, talk to the wedding planner, and be ready to go.
Okay.
It's typically if it's like an outdoor something that we might try to get there a little bit earlier, just because, you know, weather plays a big part in our instrument. But if you're talking about like a wedding band, they're going to need a lot more time, typically like an hour or maybe even more.
And they need the space, like guests are not in the room yet.
And they need the space to be loud. Like if your guests are like, we had a pre-ceremony social before our wedding started, because we just know our family shows up late, you know, and then it was Memorial Day weekend. So it's a lot of things that were working against them on being punctual. But if our band was in the very next room warming up, you're going to hear all of that. So making sure that wherever your band is going to be set up, that they have that time. And that was something that for our wedding, we just could not work out properly. So if you look at our ceremony pictures, you see some of the band's equipment on the stage, which was not our plan initially, but there was no way to kind of work around that.
But there was a gorgeous stage, right?
Oh, yes.
And yes. I mean, that matters. Yeah, it was like some thought was put into the design of that like staging, which...
Yeah, that was our custom stage. Right?
Yeah. It's huge because if they bring their own, sometimes a band needs to tell you or show you pictures of what staging they require or what they are going to be bringing and setting up. It can be very simple, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're expecting like the whole facade and the way the front facing stage part looks like part of the decor, that's not always part of a basic package.
Definitely. And speaking of setup, like making sure with this time that they have in the beginning, something that can be like a little, you know, hitch in the plans is if there are things that were not discussed ahead of time. Typically dealing with weather, like us with string instruments, if it's an outdoor wedding, of course we can't be out there if there's any type of precipitation, but also we can't be in direct sunlight with our mm-hmm. instruments. So if you haven't planned for that, then that's something that's going to, you know, cause a little yeah. bit of stress right before everything gets started. Or with the band, like there were a lot of back and forth between us and the band, like what size stage do you actually need? And then mm-hmm. we were also putting the DJ on the stage as well. So we had to, you know, make it work, but still fit into the space. So having those expectations kind of laid out ahead of time makes the day of a lot easier.
Do you have like no direct sunlight? We will not play in precipitate. We need chairs. Do you have all that in your contract? And you've, yeah.
Yes.
But you've just found that sometimes couples, oh yeah, well, you won't be in direct sunlight. And then you get there and you're like, we're in direct sunlight.
Right. You know, and sometimes it's as easy as like a tree. It's fine, like it's shaded. Mm-hmm. But it's something that as soon as we find out that it's an outdoor wedding, which they have to answer that on the contract, then we say, now just make sure you're paying attention to this paragraph in there about outdoor weddings, because we have had weddings before where they didn't have a contingency plan. Mm-hmm. And we've had to say, okay, I'm sorry, we can't play.
Right.
Because, you know, once water touches our instruments, they're
right.
no longer useful to us.
Yeah, it's not just being a diva. Like, right. it's actual, like, very expensive instruments, and mm-hmm. any serious musician would take care of that.
You know, and I want to touch on, I feel like we kind of glossed over going back to timeline, because I know I had never heard of a pre-ceremony social before. And so, like I said, given the fact that we had ours on Memorial Day, you know, and just knowing, you know, not everybody in our family is as punctual, mm-hmm. you know. So I think that they kind of go to just the timeliness of the whole wedding and also helping out with the stress of the situation. Because if you know that your grandmother normally takes a long time to get there or something like this, but you also don't want to start the wedding without her, yeah. I feel like the pre-ceremony social was great. And we also had the music. So it wasn't just, we're going to tell everybody to get there for a pre-ceremony social and it's just silent and it's just, you know, just a little meet and greet with people walking around twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah.
You know, we still put effort into it to make sure that they were entertained and they still had the music and the background, and also, like I said, just decreasing the stress of
yeah, you guys
already going to be a stressful day.
You put in the buffer time.
You put in
from the very beginning with that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's kind of, I mean, so the musicians were essentially doing like an extra long prelude mm-hmm. almost, mm-hmm. but knew they were going to do that. So it wasn't just like, okay, play another song. We're still waiting for grandma.
Right.
And yeah. then the people that got there on time or early weren't like awkwardly waiting, mm-hmm. like you say, with nothing mm-hmm. to do.
Right. And it was just 30 minutes, but we also, you know, with everything with COVID, we did temperature checks and all that stuff. So it was a time and case, a line started mm-hmm. there. But then also with it being the first time that a lot of our family was seeing each other, on top of, and I'm dressed up and I have on a bow tie or I have on makeup and this and the other, like it was a moment for them to like hug and embrace.
Yes.
And, like, and let me see what you have on.
I love that.
And that. So it was just enough time. And then there were champagne, because champagne makes everything
totally
nice. I had a lot of music teacher friends that were there. And one of my friends who's a band director, he was talking about just, you know, he had his glass of champagne and there was music playing as any other. He's known us for a while, before I even met Kevin, actually. But he was just talking about going into the ceremony and how, like, everything just set him up to be ready to see us get married. And he was boo-hoo crying and this and the other. And that was like, that was the biggest compliment. I mean, because that's what the whole goal was.
I love that. And then the last note that you made was about location. So we've talked about like outdoor elements, huge for live musicians, sunlight, moisture, wet grass. I know sometimes some of the instruments are not great out there. But amplification, we haven't mentioned. So it's a live musician. I don't need amplification. What do you mean? Would be like what somebody might ask you. So what does that, what does a live musician bring and what do they need in order to make that work?
Well, typically for ceremony, like with a string quartet, we don't really use amplification very much. Okay. But for things like a cocktail hour, or we've played for receptions several times as well, where there's going to be a lot of, you know, the white noise, the conversation.
The room is bigger.
Glasses. Right. Or if you're outdoors and there's a lot of ground to cover, then that's when amplification makes things easier, because then we're providing music and no, we're not the like featured guest or anything like that. But, you know, if you want it to actually be heard, then, you know, some amplification can be used. It doesn't have to be, but it is something to think about.
So some speakers could be set up to kind of spread the music, not necessarily at a crazy level, but just further into like the corners of a high-ceilinged room or a tent. Or an outside space. And for that, the musician usually brings that, like their team brings it, and it's just to plug it into an outlet situation?
That's something you have to check with your musician for. We don't provide that, but a lot of groups do.
And if you don't, then you would need the couple to provide it, like through the DJ or an AV company. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, guys, I wanted to say thank you again, because this is like, notes will be taken, you know, and of course we put show notes on the website, so you'll see most of this, but so much good information. So I wanted to just wrap it up with the last question for both of you of what were you just really glad, you know, all is said and done. Like, what were you so happy? What have you talked about, you know, late at night in bed where you're just kind of in a glow that you did at the wedding or something that was so successful and wonderful?
I think we really it actually has been the music. Like there's so much going on that we've still just been piecing it together. Mm-hmm. You know, like, do you remember when this happened? Or, you know, we talk a lot about the saxophonist and the people talking about how not only was he putting on a show, but he was like laying back on a table and like completely performing, you know?
So all the and, work, you know, put into it, all the work that you guys put into the music really did pan.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it really was worth it.
Oh yeah. And you know, and now that, you know, as days went on, he started coming more and more down from planner mode, which we didn't really talk about that. So I just want to say, tell the guests, make sure you have fun at your wedding. Just, you know, like have fun, please. And turn. When the day comes, leave it to your planner or whoever you have in charge and enjoy the day and actually become, you know, the people that the day is for and not worry so much about the details.
Managing
of it. Managing it, because he was still, to a certain extent, still kind of managing it throughout like half of the wedding.
In my head.
In his head. In his head. And so I would say, and it was still fun because it got us to relive it. But just like over the next couple of days and weeks, it was like, oh yeah, that did happen. That did happen. So I feel like, I know for me, one of the things that I've enjoyed so much is just reliving the moment with him, because I feel like I experienced a lot of it differently than him, because I was totally there the entire time having a blast.
And maybe like kind of surprised by some, you were allowed in a way to be like surprised by some things, whereas Stephen probably on some level like knew that that was coming up for the most part.
I was surprised by the whole thing. Because I tell people all the time, like this, you know, I say all the time that I showed up to the wedding just like they did. Like I knew some of the music and all of that, but he worked alongside our planner the entire time. So he knew when things were going to happen. So I was walking in there doe-eyed, like, oh my gosh, look at this, look at this, look at this. So yeah, that's
very good. And Stephen, what about you? Anything particular stands out?
The biggest thing for me is definitely the processional, having that string orchestra there. I have played that video over probably 50 times. And one, like, some of the musicians there were, like, people I've known since I was in middle school, all the way up to kids who I'm currently teaching, and just, they sounded so good, like, but, and once we both got up to the altar and they were kind of wrapping it up, we both were just like, oh my gosh, they sound so good. And it was, I know, walking into the ceremony, like, I didn't think I would get nervous. Mm-hmm. And I hear, like, you hear in movies, like, are you nervous? I'm like, why are you nervous? You know you're going to get married today. Like, it's going to happen. But it was more like a, not
all
even
eyes on you.
Right. But yeah, it was kind of like a, like, nervous about, is all of this going to come together the way it's supposed to? But something about just walking in and hearing that music and seeing Kevin standing there, like, it just made everything like, okay, like, no, like, this is where I'm supposed to be, right here at this moment.
Yeah.
Like, the planets are aligning and this is great.
You're both wonderful. And I appreciate you taking the time to share all of this with our listeners. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having us. Listen, I'm totally, well, my kids, I'm fangirling over here because you all, y'all are celebrities to me either way.
Oh my gosh.
So we definitely, honestly, need your address. I'm sending you candles because he loves.
I would love that. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.